Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 11. Let's just want to read one verse. That's verse 3. And they said one to another, "Go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly." And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we pray that you would speak to our hearts from your word tonight. We pray that the testimony of every person here is that they do know the peace that passes understanding, the peace that comes from surrendering our hearts to you and laying down our struggling and fighting and rebelling against you and trusting you as our Savior. And the peace of resting in your control, the control of your spirit, and dying to self and allowing you both to work in us, both to will and to do of your good pleasure. We pray that you would bless our study of your word together tonight, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we want to try and finish our studies concerning the subject of freedom and tyranny. This whole subject, and it is a vast and a deep subject, and as vast and as deep as it is, that's evidenced by the volumes that have been written about it, books upon books upon books. But the whole subject is summed up by the Spirit of God in just six words here in verse 3. And they had brick for stone. They had brick for stone. The stone, as we have been taught in this church over many years, is first and foremost a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, the stone is a picture of freedom. John chapter 8 and verse 32, a verse that we've mentioned a number of times in the course of these studies. In John 8, 32, the Lord Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth." And he told us in John chapter 14 and verse 6 that he is the truth. "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And so the stone is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he and he alone is truth and freedom and liberty, the stone is a picture of these things as well. But the stone is a picture of something else. It's a picture of man as created by God. Genesis 1:26, "And God said, let us make man in our image." Verse 27, "So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female created he them." And so the stone is a picture of man as created by God. And how did God create man? He created two unique individuals. He created those individuals with unalienable rights. Life. Genesis 2:7, "And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul." He created these two individuals with the unalienable right of liberty, the unalienable right of freedom. In Genesis 1:26 and 1:28, we've noted how God gave man dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth, every living thing that moveth upon the earth. But what God did not give man dominion over is his fellow man. And it's like that because God created man with the unalienable right of freedom. And God created these two individuals with the freedom to choose. The Lord God commanded the man in Genesis 2 and verse 16, "Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it." The key word there is the word shalt. Thou shalt not eat of it. God did not say, "Thou canst not eat of it." God said, "Thou shalt not eat of it." And the difference between shalt not and cannot is the unalienable right of the freedom to choose. And by the way, that's the same language that we find all through the Ten Commandments. "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Thou shalt not covet." Not once in the Ten Commandments do you find the word "canst" or the word "cannot," because man has the freedom to choose. Man has the freedom to choose to have other gods and to make graven images and take the name of the Lord in vain. Man can choose not to honor his father and mother. Man can choose to kill and commit adultery and steal and lie and covet. And that's true of every command of God. I believe Kent said, and I have no doubt that he counted them, if I remember the number correctly, that there's 3,743 commandments here in the book. And so it's true of every command of God. All 3,743 of them, up to and including eternal life. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, God says, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life." Choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. That's why Mr. Creech says, and it's so true, that the greatest danger we will ever face is the freedom to choose. Because we have the freedom to choose to reject life, to reject the stone, to reject the Lord Jesus Christ, and choose death. Choose death, the second death. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 14 tells us, "In death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. And whosoever, a word in the Bible that is especially associated, I believe, with the freedom to choose. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life, and why are there those who are not found written in the book of life? It's because they refuse the invitation of the Spirit of God, who says, "Whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." Those whose names are not written in the book of life, their names will not be there because they refused when God set before them, as he does before every man, because he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. They refused to choose life when God set it before them. And instead of choosing life and blessing, they choose death and cursing. Because the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 40, "Ye will not come to me that ye might have life." He did not say, "Ye cannot come to me." God is not the problem. Again, as Brother Dwight says, God has removed every barrier between ourselves and Him. And He did that on the cross of Calvary, where He took our sin upon Himself, where He was made sin for us. Listen to what Paul says. As we think about the freedom to choose, as we think about God removing the barriers between Himself and us, Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 14, "For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us." And what is that middle wall of partition between us? He tells us in verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 2. And He tells us verse 14 of Colossians chapter 2. Ephesians 2:15 says, "Having abolished," notice that word, "having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances." That's the middle wall of partition between us. The law of God that condemns us. And then Paul says in Colossians 2:14, blotting out, listen to that language, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. And how did the Lord blot out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us? How did He take it out of the way? The last glorious words of that verse tell us. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. God has removed every barrier that separates us from Him. He's broken down the middle wall of partition between us. He's abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. He's blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way. He's removed every barrier except one. And that's our freedom to choose. God will not remove that barrier. We have to remove that barrier. And we remove it by choosing life. By choosing the one who is the life, the only one in whom is life, the Lord Jesus Christ. The question tonight is very simple. What have you chosen? You've made a choice. You've either chosen life, you've either chosen the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the life, the one who is the way, or you are at this moment choosing death. Any choice other than the way is nothing more than a way. It's interesting that twice in the book of Proverbs, in chapter 14 and verse 12 and chapter 16 and verse 25, God addresses this a way. He says, "There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." The end thereof are the ways of death. That's the broad way that leadeth to destruction. Have you chosen life tonight? You choose life, and it fits right in with what we're talking about here. You choose life, we learn in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 44, by falling on the stone and being broken. Broken over your sin, broken over your crimes against God. David wrote in Psalm 51 that the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, Thou wilt not despise. And the way that we get broken is by falling on the stone. Have you chosen life? Have you fallen on the stone? Or are you at this very moment, as you sit in this meeting, choosing death? Maybe you think, well, I've never thought of it that way before. You better think of it that way. Because that's what you're doing. Choosing death. Choosing a way. The broad way. Your way that ends in death. The only barrier between life and death is your freedom to choose. God has removed every other barrier. That's why he says, therefore, choose life that thou may live. In reading and thinking about these verses in Genesis chapter 11 and just thinking about these words, and they had brick for stone, there just doesn't seem to be an end to the depth of the meaning of this word stone. It's an incredible word. And it brings before our minds why every word of God is pure. It brings before our minds why the Lord Jesus quoted from the book of Deuteronomy that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That includes this word stone. It's a very important word. It's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. It's a picture of the cross of Calvary. It brings before our minds the place where the stone was smitten of God to bring forth the water of life, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The stone is a picture of freedom. It's a picture of man is created by God as a unique individual. I have a brick and a stone back in the office back there. And I thought about lugging them out here tonight. And I use the word lugging literally because the stone's a pretty good size. It's a heavy stone. Brick doesn't weigh much. But I like to look at that stone. Because it's unique. It's unique. It has little curves. It has little indentations. It has little high spots. It has low spots. It has peaks. It has valleys. It is unique. There's not another stone like that in all the world. And it's a picture of man as created by God as a unique individual. As a unique individual, endowed by the Creator God with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the freedom to choose. And I was thinking that these are called natural rights. You hear them referred to that way from time to time, natural rights. And it's so fitting that they would be symbolized by that which God created and which occurs naturally in the earth, the stone. That's apart from any man having anything to do with it. It's apart from any man-made organization having anything to do with it. It's apart from any government having anything to do with it. Now, maybe someone is thinking, and I wouldn't blame you if you're thinking it, but you've said all this before. And if that's what you're thinking, you're exactly right. But I want to tell you something. I don't believe these things can be said too often or too much. Because these things that we're talking about, the brick, the stone, these things are critical. The stone, critical to our spiritual liberty. Liberty is found only in the Lord Jesus Christ, in the salvation that he provides. But it's critical to our political liberty as a people. And that's kind of what we're thinking about and been thinking about in these messages. I'll give you an example that just took place this week. Chuck Todd is the political director for NBC News. He's probably best known at least, for being the host of Meet the Press. And I learned something about Meet the Press. It's the longest running show on television. Talk about wearing out your welcome. It aired for the first time on November the 6th, 1947. So in about a month, that show will celebrate its 70th anniversary. That's how long it's been on. This past week, Chuck Todd was commenting about Roy Moore. Roy Moore won the Republican U.S. Senate primary in Alabama Tuesday over Luther Strange. Mr. Strange had been appointed to fill the vacancy when President Trump nominated and the Senate confirmed Jeff Sessions to be the Attorney General, left his seat open. That took place back in February. The governor of Alabama appointed Luther Strange. I want to remind you who Judge Roy Moore is. He was elected as a judge in Alabama in 1992. He's a graduate of West Point, by the way, and then the law school of the University of Alabama. And he was elected as a judge in Alabama in 1992. And if I read it correctly, he was the first elected Republican in Alabama since Reconstruction. As soon as he was elected, Judge Moore did something. He had a homemade plaque that had the Ten Commandments on it. And he put it on the wall of his courtroom. Now, that offended a lot of the defendants that came in there. They complained about it. And it reminded me of David Barton's account of a judge in Florida who had ordered the courthouse copy of the Ten Commandments. He ordered them to be covered up during a murder trial. And he did that because jurors might get prejudiced against the defendant if they saw the command, "Thou shalt not kill." So I guess these defendants in Roy Moore's court felt the same way. They also complained about Judge Moore's practice of beginning sessions in his court with prayer. That was offensive. So the ACLU, of course, the American Civil Liberties Union. It's amazing how these organizations can have names that sound so good that just mask their real intention. They're really the anti-American Civil Liberties Union. But they brought suit against Judge Moore. But he wouldn't back down. He stood against them. And against the later court orders to remove the plaque. Well, he served 8 years as that circuit court judge. And then he was encouraged to run for Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. And he was elected to that position in 2000. And what he did when he was elected, he didn't bring a homemade plaque and put it up in his courtroom. Instead, Judge Moore installed a 5,280-pound granite block that contained quotes from the Constitution, and it had two tablets with the Ten Commandments on it. And he had that installed outside the state judicial building. Of course, again, there was, as they say, the usual suspects, the ACLU. They were joined by, this time, the Southern Poverty Law Center. Now, that group is another group that their name and their purpose don't meet very well together. If you look at their website, you find that they are dedicated to fighting hate and bigotry. And they've got a list of hate groups in this country. If you read the list, you would agree. I agree with many of them. The KKK, the neo-Nazis, the white supremacists, and the various groups that have these leanings, they've got them on their website. But then they have some other groups on their website, like WorldNet Daily, the Family Research Council, the Liberty Council, the Center for Security Policy. That's Frank Gaffney's group that stands against and lets the American people know how Sharia law is creeping around and creeping into prominence in areas in this country. The American Family Association is on their list. The Alliance for Defending Freedom. Any group that is, in a nutshell, I guess, any group that is pro-Bible, pro-Constitution, pro-Declaration of Independence, that stands against Sharia law and radical Islamic terrorism and homosexuality and same-sex marriage, they end up on the hate list of the Southern Poverty Law Center. Well, they file suit against Judge Moore. He ignored the suit. And he ignored it because he said the Ten Commandments are, quote, the moral foundation of U.S. law. And he's right. He's right. David Barton points out the Ten Commandments are the basis of our civil law. That's why they are engraved in stone in the U.S. Supreme Court. Many of you have seen that. So Judge Moore's stand was absolutely correct. But of course, the courts ordered him to remove the monument. He still refused. And so the Alabama Supreme Court voted to overrule his decision to disobey the court order, and they filed a complaint against him with the Alabama Court of Judiciary, and that court issued a unanimous ruling that Judge Moore had violated the canons of judicial ethics by defying the ruling, and they ordered the Chief Justice removed from office in November 2003, and he was removed from office. And, of course, he appealed, and didn't matter. That decision was upheld through several different appeals. And so Roy Moore was off the court, but he wasn't done. He ran for governor twice, or he ran for the Republican nomination for governor twice. I think it was in 2006 and 2010, and he was defeated both times. But in 2013, he was elected again as the Chief Justice of the Alabama Supreme Court. Apparently, the people of Alabama have a certain level of confidence in this man. This time, he made it 3 years, but he was suspended again. Why was he suspended? I love this. He told the probate judges in Alabama to continue to enforce the state's ban on same-sex marriage. Said it didn't matter what the Supreme Court said. That was an unlawful ruling. That was an unlawful ruling that legalized same-sex marriage. It was against the Word of God. And so Chief Justice Moore told the probate judges, you continue to enforce this state's laws that ban same-sex marriage. Well, he got removed again. And that was last year, 2016, he was removed. And initially, he was going to appeal the removal. But instead, he decided to resign and not keep going with the appeal because he wanted to go somewhere else. And where he wanted to go was the United States Senate. And so he ran for the Republican nomination. And he won that nomination this past Tuesday. Amen. This is Roy Moore. Would you and I agree with everything he said? No. Would he agree with everything you and I said? No. There's nobody perfect, folks. And I'm sure you're going to read some things about him in these next weeks. They're going to do everything they can. I'm getting ahead of myself. I'm going to tell you about that in just a minute. But this is a man who stood for the Ten Commandments in prayer, even when it cost him his job. Now think about that. He's a man who stood against same-sex marriage, even when it cost him his job. That's rare. That's rare in this day of political correctness. It's rare in this day of political apologies that these fellows make in order to keep their jobs and stay in office. That, to me, speaks of a man with principles and character. He's going to face a Democrat by the name of Doug Jones in the general election. That'll be held on December the 12th. And they're going to put the Democrat Party is going to pull out all the stops to beat him. American Bridge is an opposition research group. It's headed by a man by the name of David Brock. He's the founder of Media Matters. They're the group that tries to get conservative commentators off the radio. Media Matters, as I understand it, has somebody listen every day without fail to Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Mark Levin and these other fellows. Some of them I can't think of their names. They listen every single day to try to catch these men in their words, so that they can file a suit or go to their advertisers and try to get them to stop advertising on the program so they can get these men off the air. American Bridge. And they've already produced a 21-page memo of opposition research on Judge Moore to be used. Maybe I should say to be distorted by his opponent. So I say that to just remind us that this man needs our prayer, our prayers. He's not part of the political establishment, that's for sure. Now, with that background, I want to tell you what Chuck Todd said this week. He said concerning Judge Moore's victory on Tuesday, quote, "If you don't understand just how freaked out some folks over in the GOP and the White House are about what that means, then you don't know Roy Moore. First off, he doesn't appear to believe in the Constitution as it's written." And then Chuck Todd plays this statement by Roy Moore to prove his assertion that Judge Moore doesn't appear to believe in the Constitution as it's written. And here's Judge Moore's statement. "Our rights don't come from government. They don't come from the Bill of Rights. They come from Almighty God." Now, instead of agreeing with Judge Moore, because he's exactly right, folks, this statement, "our rights don't come from government, they don't come from the Bill of Rights, they come from Almighty God," is, may I say, stone thinking. We need to go back to the Stone Age, if you will. This is the stone of that this nation was founded on. Our founding document, the Declaration of Independence, founded on and with its roots deep in the laws of nature, and nature's God says, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, not to give them, they come from God. They came from God in the beginning of the creation. We just mentioned the verses a few minutes ago. that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. This is American exceptionalism. It's the thinking of the stone. It's the stone of freedom. It's the stone of individual liberty. It's the stone of unalienable rights. And Chuck Todd doesn't even understand the laws of nature and nature's God, the Word of God, the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution. Now listen to what he says about Judge Moore's statement that our rights come from Almighty God. Chuck Todd says, now that's just a taste of what are very fundamentalist views. You know, it's those rascally fundamentalist. Now that's just a taste of what are very fundamentalist views that have gotten him removed from office twice as Alabama's Chief Justice. Folks, may I say with all due respect, Chuck Todd is ignorant of the founding of this nation. He's absolutely ignorant. His statement, in contrast to Judge Moore's, is brick for stone. But I want to tell you the sad thing. The sad thing. Roy Moore and stone thinking is the exception in this country. Chuck Todd and brick thinking is the rule. And as we saw last week, the ultimate end of brick for stone is bondage. We noted last week, we read in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 14 how the Egyptians made the lives of the Hebrews bitter with hard bondage in mortar and in brick. The first mention of brick in the Bible is Genesis 11 and verse 3. They had brick for stone. Exodus 1:14 is the second mention of brick in the Bible. And it's like that because the end of brick for stone will always be a life that is bitter with hard bondage. That's true of individuals. It's true of individuals. When we choose the brick of our own will, when we choose the brick of our own way, and we reject the stone of the Lord Jesus Christ in His Word, the end of that will always be a life that is bitter with hard bondage. If we're saved, it'll cost us rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. If you're lost, your name will not be found written in the book of life, and you're going to be cast into the lake of fire. It's true of nations. When a nation chooses brick for stone, the brick of secular humanism, the brick of socialism, the brick of man's order, when a nation rejects the stone of the Word of God, when a nation rejects the stone of the Lord Jesus Christ, the end is the loss of individual liberty. The end will ever be lives that are bitter with hard bondage. Look around the world. Look at China and North Korea. Look at Russia. Look at Cuba. Look wherever brick thinking is tried. Look at Venezuela. That'll ever be the end of the brick for stone mentality. Bitter lives with hard bondage. We need to stand for these things, folks. We need to stand on the living stone, the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to stand on the stone of His Word, because we're living in a day of brick. Not just brick for stone. The stone has been so rejected that what you see as you look around is brick. Conformity. And what you see in the Church of Jesus Christ is the brick of compromise. We're living in the day of brick. And we need to be those who stand for the stone. Our time is gone. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for these six little words in the book of Genesis. and they had brick for stone. For the message that's contained in them, a message of the gospel. We pray that there are any here who are lost tonight, that they would give up the brick of their own way and their own will. And Father, we pray that they would fall upon the stone, the Lord Jesus Christ, and be broken. Broken over their sin, broken over their crimes against a holy God. And cry out to you to be saved. And Father, if we know you as our Savior, we aren't immune to picking up the brick of our own will and our own way. And building a life apart from you. We pray that you would convict us of that tonight. We pray for our nation. We do pray for Judge Roy Moore. We thank you for the stands that this man has taken. We thank you for allowing him to win this nomination. And we pray that you would sustain him and bless him in these few short weeks before the general election. And we pray that you might allow him to go to Washington. We need some stones up there to shake up the bricks. Forget about draining the swamp. We got a brick problem up in Washington. And we pray that you would send a stone like this man up there to stand for you, to stand for the Word of God, to stand for the testimony of Jesus Christ, to stand for what's right. We pray for men up there who are doing that, and there are some. And we pray that you would bless them and sustain them and help them. We love this nation. And we thank you for our freedom, freedom that has been bought with the purchase of blood, the blood of patriots through the years. And we pray that we would never forget the sacrifices that have been made that we might enjoy freedom. Most of all, help us to never forget the sacrifice of the God of glory that purchased our redemption on the cross of Calvary. We pray these things in Jesus' name.